Fishing like a local isn't just about catching fish. It's about connecting with the environment and the people who call it home. It's about hearing the stories and traditions that have been passed down for generations and sharing unforgettable moments with the people you meet along the way. Fishing like a local is having an experience that stays with you forever. And with Fishing Booker, you can experience it too, no matter where you are. Discover your next adventure on Fishing Booker.
Get ready for the greatest roast of all time. The Roast of Tom Brady. A Netflix live event happening May 5th. Hosted by Kevin Hart. The seven-time world champion gets his cleats held to the fire by famous friends and frenemies on an unforgettable night where everything is fair game. Tune in on May 5th at 5 p.m. Pacific time for The Roast of Tom Brady. Live only on Netflix.
Welcome back for another OG Show Live. Mr. Randall, how you doing?
What's up, everybody? Welcome back to The Reel Down.
Welcome back to another episode of Bass Fishing for News.
Hi, boys and girls. Welcome to, once again, Bass Kayak Appears.
Brother, this is the final cast.
Another segment of Chasing the Tide, your saltwater connection on the Paladin.
Welcome back, everyone. Another episode of Feather and Fur, your host, Brad.
Welcome back to the Mindset Podcast. I'm your host, Crystal.
Hey, welcome back to Off the Water.
Happy Susie Q here with Adventures of Outdoor Woman Podcast.
Hey, guys. Welcome to the Rusty Hook Kayak Fishing Podcast.
We're brought to you by Pelican Built Tough. For all situations, go to pelican.com. Eastport Marina on the beautiful shores of Dale Hollow Lake. For all your lodging, kayaking, go to eastport.info. Yak Gadget. For all your fine kayak fishing accessory needs, go to yakgadget.com.
Welcome back, everyone. Feather and Fur, your host, Brad Hurlbus. And tonight, we have returning guest, Troy Steger. Got it right. I know yeah, I got it right.
He sure did.
Welcome to the show, Troy.
Thank you.
So a little background, Troy. Like I butchered Troy's last name like seven times in a row. And yeah, I really had to focus on that before we started the show here.
Yeah, it happens. It happens way too often.
You know, it's some German names. No one can pronounce mine either. It is what it is.
That is a fact.
But I mean, mine's now Hurlbus, but originally, like way back when, we'll break it down, it was Hurlbaus. We'll go real German. We kind of Englishified it.
Yeah. Mine didn't used to have an E in it. I guess it was an O with the two little dots over the top. So whatever those things are called.
I didn't know how to type that on a computer.
Yeah, right.
when you're typing your last name and you have to like hit shift over the ABC button to finally get the letter you need, like it's time to change it.
Right.
Hold on, let me pull up my German keyboard to type my last name. I know you're going to like this, and I did this for the last episode. Do you see that new background?
I did. I like it a lot.
Ain't she pretty?
That it browning? Is. Absolutely.
I know you're a fan. I'm a fan. Troy and I are both fans. Troy and I are both fans of nice shotguns.
Yeah, pretty shotguns do it for me, too. So.
Something about it. Something about it. I almost traded it, and I'm happy I didn't.
Like, it was
a cool gun I was going to trade it for, but I'm happy I didn't because this one's just it's old. It's classic. It's not that old, but I mean, it's old. It's 1984, so it's almost as old as me.
Oh, you're just a kid, though.
So we're going to talk deer season, and I know you went all in last year, and you're all in this year.
Yeah, way too much, in fact.
You're sneaking around the woods, changing trail cameras out. And
mm-hmm. Yeah, I'm doing that. And, you know, and honestly, I've taken scent control to a completely nerdy, pathetic level this time. You know, and it's like I got busted last year once too often. And, you know, even watching deer come in and dropping their nose to the trail. And then just because I had walked across there. And then it's like, then they start flicking their tail and everything. And I was like, I can play the wind once I get to a stand. You can't do it when you're getting to a stand. So it was like, I want them to not smell me at all, if at all possible. But I mean, even if it is, if that's not possible, I want to think that I was there days ago.
Right, right. So I'm curious, let's start there. Like, what is your stent control now? Like, what is the program you've adopted, like, all the way through?
Oh man, I went to rubber boots, which seems to be the pretty popular thing anyway, and didn't realize it. And it all kind of started, honestly, when I wanted to get rid of the rubber smell of the rubber boots when they were new. And I let them sit outside for 3 weeks, and they still smelled like rubber, and it drove me nuts. I'm using ozone, okay. You know, and scent-free everything, and I just blasting everything with spray before and after that. You know, and it's honestly, it's a sad, sad situation. I mean, my box is sitting right next to me. I ozone something pretty much every day just because I'm playing with it.
That's awesome. So you went for the ozone box?
I actually built a box. I have a like one of the throw and go ozone things that I actually put in a box. It's one of the Plano Sportsman's crates that I weather stripped and everything. So it's completely airtight.
Got it. Real nice. I mean, scent control is a big thing. I mean, I'm pretty lucky where I hunt, where I don't have to take it super seriously.
Right.
I use more of a cover scent. So I hunt, it's not residential by any means, but I wouldn't, it's not big North Woods or anything like that. It's farmland. I hunt farmland, your typical farmland. And there's a lot of houses around there. Not a lot. We're not talking subdivisions, but I mean, there's houses around because it's farmland and almost every house heats with a wood burner.
Right.
So the smell of smoke is thick and constant in the area, depending on the wind.
Right.
I use smoke as a cover scent. Like, I will get my clothes smoking in front of a bonfire and stick them in front in a crate. I've been known to use a bee smoker and smoke out my box before. I mean, the woods where I hunt are so accustomed to the smell of smoke.
Sure.
And if anybody sat around a bonfire, I mean, your hair stinks the next morning from the smell of a bonfire smoke. It's such a good cover scent. And from what I've read, it's an old Indian trick from way back when. And honestly, it works for where I'm at. Like, I use that in the morning with thermals, and between the two of them, it seems to work pretty well for me.
You know, and I think that it would by me too. I mean, I'm in farmland too.
Sure.
And I think I take it too far, you know, on a lot of different respects. And I mean, I also sometimes fail to realize that I can reach out a whole lot further than I used to be able to, you know, and, you know, I mean, I'm not going to shoot a deer at 70 or 80 yards or anything, but I can hit a quarter at 50 all day long.
Right. Right. You rock. What, you went to a new Raven, didn't you?
Yeah. 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 It's the R10X.
That's a pretty sweet bow. So walk me through that, because I've never shot a crossbow of that caliber. I have a cheap entry-level Wicked Ridge, I think it is.
Sure.
And it works for what I do. The reason I hunt with a crossbow is because I'm 100% bird-focused, mm-hmm. and I don't have time or a place to practice with a compound bow. I don't.
You know, that's kind of what happened with me, too. I didn't have the time. I mean, it's like I can easily pull a compound back still to this day. But I don't have the time to get out there and shoot, you know, 200-400 arrows a week all summer long either. So that's kind of what happened with me, too. And I started out with a cheap center point one and upgraded again. And now I've got this thing. So.
But was it worth the money?
Without question.
Without question.
Yeah. The first time I shot it, I was like, oh, I should have done this years ago.
So how far, like, I mean, like, we're deer hunting still. I mean, mm-hmm. we're both ethical deer hunters. We're not going to take shots at like 80 or 100 yards. There's too many things that can go wrong. You've got tree branches, you got twigs.
Right.
You don't have clean shooting lanes. When I hunt with my crossbow, I still have my compound bow mentality that 40 yards is a long shot. And
Me
I'll
too.
Only take those shots in super clear lanes.
Right.
So a lot of my shots with my crossbow are 20, 25 yards. And while I know it's accurate to like more than 40, there's too many variables. I can't see a twig at 40 yards. I can't.
Right. Right.
So with that said, how far have you shot that thing?
At paper, 110,
115. That's
insane. Yeah. Yeah. And it's, I mean, you're doing 3-inch groups at that far.
That's insane.
Yeah. Yeah.
I know rifle shooters that can't do that.
I know. And it's like, I've shot rifles that don't do that, you know, and I'm shooting an arrow at them, you know, at that far. And I was actually, I sighted my broadheads in last week and ruined like three of them because I just kept shooting at targets and tearing up the targets. But I mean, I wanted to see what I was doing at 100 yards too, and it was still just dropping right where I put it at 100 yards with the broadheads.
That's crazy.
It really is.
I mean, to have that, I mean, there's so much technology that goes into that and the speed, and not even just the speed, just like everything about it. Like it, everything comes into play to keep that much accuracy, from the loading of the arrow, like to have like a consistent loading and a consistent pullback, like the whole crank assembly's got to put perfectly equal tension on that string. Cause if it's slightly off,
right,
difference each time, it's going to have a huge effect at 100 yards.
Right. And that's the cool thing about the Ravens, is the, just the way that they're designed. It grabs the string in the same place every single time. It pulls it back to the exact same spot every single time, you know, and it's, the arrows actually click in there. So they're in the same spot every single time. There's no flight rail. So there's no friction. There's no, you know, nothing like that anymore. So.
That's crazy. It's so different. It's so like, there's so many advancements in there that, I mean, it's just another tool. I know there's purists out there that'll be like, oh, you should shoot a compound. But I mean, really at the end of the day, to me, it's about the most ethical way I can harvest a deer. And being that I don't have the time or the place to practice with my compound like I used to.
Right.
I don't feel comfortable still taking those 30-yard shots because I don't have the muscle memory. I don't have the shoulder strength. I don't have that built-up shoulder strength and that arm strength to take those shots and to hold at full draw. And I would much rather have an ethical kill
right
than wound a deer with a bad shot.
Me too. And honestly, I hunt from the ground. And generally, I hunt a trail that it's a man-made road that goes around my land, and it goes from their bedding area to a field. So, I mean, it's wide open. I'm not going to shoot 40, 45, 50 yards with a compound anyway. And I mean, right. I'd have to stand up and I'd get busted every single time, you know, sure. And this way I can do it from the ground. I can do it laying on the ground, you know, whatever the deal is. So, you know, and there's just that movement isn't there. I mean, they're not going to duck my arrow.
Right. Right. And I mean, those things shoot so fast, even if they would hear the string, I mean, by that point, it's lights out, it's game over.
Right. Yeah. By the time they duck, the arrow's already through.
So did you play with arrows? Did you just stick with the Raven bolt or bolts? We should say bolts. I mean, someone's going to critique that. So
yeah.
Bolts.
Actually they call them arrows. Raven does. And 10 point does too now. Yeah. Yeah.
Interesting.
Yeah. And it's like anything, I think it's under 12 inches, they call bolts still.
All right.
Yeah, and it's, you know, but whatever, you know, that's neither here nor there. But yeah, they did. You know, I didn't play with them at all. And, you know, they basically tell you to shoot their bolt or their arrows, or you'll void the warranty. And it's really because everything is so dialed in, you sure. know, that, you know, and everything is exact, you know, and it's like, and the arrows are exactly 400 grains. And, you know, so, and it's like the lighted knock ones, they actually shave material off so that they stay exactly 400 grains too, you know? So it's like, they don't mess around at all. It's like, everything is so, so close that I don't want to mess with it.
That makes sense. Do they also recommend a broadhead or is that kind of up to you?
Yeah, they don't. I mean, they sell their own. I'm just shooting Rage hypodermics and you know, they fly like field points and they open every single time with the way that they're supposed to, and they don't open in the air. So I just, you know, I'm not going to mess with them.
Sure. I'm a fan of the Rage. I know people have had failures. I haven't with the crossbow. I shoot the Rage crossbow, whatever those ones are called. Yeah. The hypodermic ones. They're hypodermics, but they're crossbow rated for the heavier.
Right. Yeah. That's what I'm shooting too.
I mean, I think with a crossbow, you're probably a little more safe. I think people, what I've read and the issues I've seen more come to people shooting lighter weight bows.
Right.
And I can kind of understand that because you do need a certain amount of kinetic energy to get that thing to open up and everything else.
Right. Oh, yeah. You got to pound through something for those blades to open up and for it to break that band.
Yeah. But they work. I mean, that is a big cutting area. There's no doubt about that.
Oh, they absolutely work.
I didn't switch to those until I switched to a crossbow. When I was still shooting my compound bow, I really stuck with the Muzzy 3 blades.
Me too.
And, you know, it's funny because I say in one sentence that I'm like, I trust the Rage, but I trust it in my crossbow. I didn't necessarily trust him in my compound bowl, though.
Right. Yeah, I was the same way. I shot the three-blade muzzies for probably 20 years when I was doing the compound thing.
They fly really good. There's no point of failure. I mean, I mean, they make good. They definitely cut. They're sharp. They make a good hole.
Right. Yeah, and it's I shot one. It was actually out of an old crossbow, and it actually kind of rose, and it rose like 6 or 8 inches, and I was like, I don't like that. You know, it's like, no, it was almost like a sail. You know, and it could have very well been that the head was loose or whatever the deal was. I don't know, but it was something, you know, and it just wasn't right.
Sure. Yeah. It's fun. I mean, it's all funny, especially like bow tuning. Like you don't have that with the Raven. Cause I mean, the Raven's so dialed in and but right. Like with compounds, like tuning and everything else. Mm-hmm. Like, I mean, I fully understand the people that love it. I get it. Like,
right.
That's how dedicated I am to training my bird dog and everything else. I mean, I get right. It when you're passionate about that and you want to make perfection and you want like to make your equipment the best it can possibly be. I mean,
right.
It's a fun thing to chase and to strive for.
Right.
You ready?
Showtime.
On May 3rd, summer starts with the Fall Guy.
What are you doing later?
Let's drink a spicy margarita.
Make some bad decisions.
Yes.
Audiences are falling in love with the most entertaining film of the year.
Fall Guy.
Fall Guy?
Fall Guy. That's what the poster said.
See Ryan Gosling and Emily Blunt in the movie critics say exists to make you happy.
Trying to make it out?
Nope.
Because I don't either. It's not what I'm into right now.
What are you into?
Talking.
Yeah.
The Fall Guy. Only in theaters May 3rd. Rated PG-13.
It's only a kick. A jump. A block. It's only a serve. It's only a tackle. A run. It's only for the fans. After all, it's only pressure. You got this. Adidas.
Yeah, and I mean, that's the thing with the Ravens, too, is that they are pretty tunable. You know, it's like, I mean, you can actually time the cams and everything just like a compound, just because there is no flight rail. There is nothing like that. That's, you know, it's basically a compound on the end of a right track. Yeah.
Interesting. I didn't know you could actually tune those.
Yeah, you can. I'm not going to mess with it. I mean,
well, I wouldn't either if you're shooting a three-inch group at 110 yards.
Right. And if, you know, if that starts to go away and something is out of time, I'm going to take it to somebody that knows what they're doing. I'm not messing with it.
Right. Yeah, I agreed. There's a lot of kinetic energy there to blow up in your face if you screw something.
That is a fact.
How hard is that thing to pull back with the crank?
It's like they say it's like 12 pounds effort, and I don't even know if it's that. I mean, it's basically just winding a crank.
That's crazy.
And it's not a lot of resistance. And then I mean, it's, you know, you go out and you don't shoot a deer, then you just wind it right back down.
See, that is the nice thing with like the Ravens, because you don't have to shoot it. Like you can just,
right.
You can decock it.
Right.
Whereas mine, I always have to bring a target with me and shoot into it before I leave. And
yeah, I always ended up just taking it. I have an arrow with a field point in my quiver back in the day, and I just shoot into the ground.
Sure. Sure. I actually, I take that back. I got, my wife got that for me a couple of years ago. You use a field point, and there's this big aluminum block that's round that goes behind the field point. So when you shoot it in the ground, like it doesn't go in the ground.
Sure.
I take it. Like I didn't bow hunt at all last year. I don't even remember what my bow looks like at this point. But that just shows you why I have a crossbow rather than, I still have my compound. I still have my old bear compound, and I'll still shoot it from me. I'll still shoot it now and then. Like I still enjoy shooting. It's that this right here is
right.
11 and a half yards.
Right.
Can I shoot down in my basement? Sure. Do I have anywhere to go out and like really stretch my legs? Not within a 35-minute drive. So to like burn an hour and a half to go shoot 10 arrows, like it just doesn't work.
Right.
And my neighbors would I guarantee you at least one, if not two neighbors would call the cops if I was outside shooting the bow, even if it was into my garage.
Probably. And I mean, growing up, it was a different time. I mean, growing up, we used to stand on the roof at my parents' house and we'd stand on the roof and shoot hay bales in the backyard, you know, but that's, I mean, those times are long gone.
You'd have to be pretty country now.
Right.
If you, I mean, yet like, there's no way I could do that in my subdivision. I mean, you climb on my roof, people stop and like they're looking at you, like, "What are you doing up there?"
Right.
I don't see a hard hat and a safety harness.
Right. They're calling OSHA right away.
Pretty much. Yep. That's my subdivision. Calling the HOA. Did he get a permit to walk on his roof?
Right.
So what else is new for your arsenal? You got the new crossbow. Like you're really taking scent control. Did you also take that to your clothing, or are you like what?
Yeah, yeah. When it's I'm using the carbon stuff. I have scent lock clothing.
Okay.
And obviously the fiance does as well. She got it from you, so yeah. She's going to go out this year. But yeah, she. You know, yeah. It's. I mean, I'm doing that too. So it's like I've got the carbon clothes and stuff too, and whether it does anything or not, I don't know. You know, maybe, and it's whether that, you know, any of this does it makes any difference. I don't know, but it's, if I can eliminate any of those variables, I'm going to do that.
Sure.
You know,
sure.
You know,
and it's, I'm like, who knows? Right. Cause I've had deer like win me, like where I thought I'd taken scent control super serious. And I've had deer walk up like straight in, like didn't give one care in the world. And I basically just stepped, I went from work right into my hunting clothes, sweaty right. And gross, and it's like whatever, I don't care.
Yeah, and that happens too. You know, I don't really know what the deal is, but like I said, if I can make them not even realize that I'm there, ideally that's what I want to
do. For sure. But,
you know, whether that happens or not, I don't know.
And you're not hurting anything. I mean,
no.
Whether it works or not, I mean, even if it doesn't work, all you've done is given yourself more confidence, which helps as well.
Right. Right. And then I kind of learned my lesson about, you know, I used to go out and check cameras like all the time. And I learned my lesson to not go out there all the time, you know, and sure. Just kind of leave them alone, you know, and leave the deer alone out there. And, you know, and it's cellular cameras help that, but at the same time, it's like, I've got a couple of the old school ones still hanging out there and I don't know what's on them because I haven't checked them.
See, I went to a cell cam this year, and I'm in a low signal area, which was a little bit of monkeying around. I had to go with an extension antenna and everything else, but right. I went with a solar one, and I'm looking at it, and I'm like, you know, I might only have to – and I put the biggest memory card in there the thing would take. I'm like,
yeah,
I bet I'm only going to have to draw – other than in hunting season, like, I don't think I'll ever have to go there again.
Right. Right. And with the cellular thing, I mean, I'm in a good signal zone too. You know, it's like – my network is Verizon on there, and it's like I'm full bars all the time, you know.
Nice.
Yeah, so, and it's like it's strong enough that I can actually control the camera from my phone, which is cool. But
that is cool. Let's see what I'm at. Let's check the camera and see. 90% signal.
That's, yeah, there's nothing wrong with that.
No, the worst I've seen now with that extension antenna was 50%, but I took a 17-foot extension ladder with me, and I have that cord as tight as possible. It's a 15-foot cord. The camera's about waist high, so it's at least 17 feet in the air.
Right.
And that's what it took for me to get a signal where I was.
Yeah, that's, you know, and it's, I've just got the little stock antenna hanging off the side, and it's on a fence post, you know,
yeah.
You know, and it works just fine.
Nope, but I got that big omnidirectional cone screwed way up in the tree.
Yeah.
But
whatever you got to do, though.
I mean, even if you factor in the cost, I mean, it's 40-minute drive for me each way to my hunting land where I hunt.
Right.
I mean, you start factoring in fuel, even if you go every other week.
Right.
It pays for a couple cell cameras for sure.
Right. Right. You know, and certainly the service, because the service is cheap anyways.
Right.
You know, right. But yeah, I don't go out there. I'm going to go out there probably this weekend and put my blind up. You know, just sure. And leave the windows open, let it air out, and let them get used to it being there before I'm in it. But beyond that, I try to not mess around out there at all.
And that makes sense. Same. I mean, we pretty much try to stay out. Like if we do any maintenance or anything like that, mm-hmm. like cut different trails in or change tree stands.
Right.
We really try to do that in winter, early spring. Like we try to be, because I mean, I have 40 acres. The deer are pretty consistent on the trails they're using, where they're bedding. I mean, it's established habitat. We're able to place stands and things like that where we need to. And we have a good idea of how, like, the deer pattern doesn't change that dramatically year after year.
Right.
So we make most of our changes in like spring.
Right. Yeah. And I just put my cameras up. I don't know. It was probably a month ago or so. And honestly, it was, I kind of had an idea where they were coming through, and I put one in a place where I was like, I don't know, but there's trails all over the place, so we'll find out. And I mean, it was, you know, I was out there messing around when I put them up and banging around and sweating because it was like a 1,000 degrees outside, you know, and so stinking up the woods and everything else. And it was like, I was like, I'm not going to see anything for a couple days at least. And that night I was like, I was getting deer pictures already 2 hours after I was gone, you know, and it's like, they're looking at my, yeah. Which, and I mean, where my land is, I mean, there's a house on the other side of the road, you know, sure. So there's obviously, they're not completely, you know, devoid of contact with people. And there's another house on the other side of the cornfield. Well, it's soybeans this year, but I mean, it's
sure.
So, I mean, they're used to people to some extent, but at, right. But at the same time, they're not used to people in their living room, so to speak.
Right. And that makes a big difference. And
right.
I've seen that before. I mean, I've checked a trail camera that was hot and like, it's gone dead after I've been in there for a day.
Right.
But I've also I put up that cellular camera and I had pictures 2 hours later of four does walking through, like, no care in the world.
Right. Yeah. The other night I had like 125 pictures between 8 and midnight. It was insane. They were everywhere and just dancing around. And there was, you know, two does out there with a bunch of fawns playing, and then they'd all leave and then a buck would come walking through and then they'd be back out. And for like 4 hours, they were just hanging out in front of my camera.
That's a lot of pictures.
It really is.
I want to move my camera. I'm not a huge fan of where it is, but because I'm limited for cell signal, like, it's not much I can do.
Right.
Like, I'm not, like, normally where I have cameras on that land, it's not far from where this one is, but it's on a slightly different trail. And I just don't think it's getting as much action as that other trail does.
Right.
I'm just not getting and one thing I'm getting a ton of pictures, which I never used to now, is squirrels. There's always been squirrels there, but where I used to hang my camera, like, it just wasn't in a heavily squirrel area. Like, they didn't want those trees there where my camera is now. Like, I'll get 100 pictures of squirrels.
Right.
Raccoons as well. Like, I've got a huge family of raccoons almost every single night out there that's playing yeah, around right in front of the camera. I'm like, this is not what I want to be wasting paid pictures for.
Yeah, you were showing me that the other day. Those things are going to cost you money just out sitting out there fooling around.
They're worse than the squirrels.
They're
worse than the squirrels. It's crazy. Well,
yeah, because they'll hang around out there and that camera will just keep taking pictures.
The one thing I did notice, though, is the deer are definitely bedding in the area of the camera, because I'll get pictures of them laying down. I'll get pictures like when they stand back up like an hour later.
Oh, that's nice.
Which, I mean, that's a good thing in my mind, because eventually I've got way more does than bucks in our area. We had them for years. Our doe to buck population is way off where I'm at.
Right.
But I mean, if this camera's hung right like 3 feet from one of my tree stands, it's in one of the clearings where I normally, like, in one of my shooting lane clearings. And if the does are bedding in there, the bucks will eventually be here.
Right.
Now, if I get after him with the bow or not, that's yet to be seen. But I do take a hard break during bird hunting season for the opening of weekend of gun deer. So,
right,
it'd take a pretty big buck. It'd take, like, Pippa's 10. She's getting close to retirement. I've got a lot planned for bird hunting this year. It'd take a wall hanger on the camera for me to go out there and start chasing it before gun deer.
Right. Well, plus Pippa's not going to be happy with it either.
No, she won't be.
No.
She was all happy last night in the boat chasing ducks with me, doing some scouting. Yeah, we went out and ran a marsh last night, and she was with, and I'm looking through the binoculars, and like, she's staring up at me and staring at the birds and staring at me and staring at the birds. And she's like, are we going to hunt? Like, what's going on here? Like ready to go. I'm like, just wait. So
yeah,
she's ready.
That's awesome. Yeah,
I'm ready.
Yeah, I'm ready to get out there, you know, and do something, you know, and be it deer or, you know, I'm going to go out and chase birds with you too. But
this is true. We got to get you and your fiance out this year. It didn't happen last year.
Yes. Well, she'll be my wife by then. So
really? So the date's been set, huh?
Yeah. October 15th.
Oh, so, boy.
Yeah. It's coming up fast.
Getting married in the middle of hunting season, that's dangerous.
Yeah, it is what it is, though. she's worth it, and she's hunting this year too. And I mean, right. that was kind of fun, you know. It was like set getting her all set up, and you know, and she's got the good stand out there, and you know, sure. And it's, you know, monitoring everything, you know, for her, because it's like I'd rather her get a deer than me.
Right, absolutely. That's like when I go out with my nieces and whatnot. I'd much rather they shot a deer than I did.
Right.
I can get meat. I'm not worried about it.
No, I can shoot a doe anytime, you know, and it's like before daylight savings time, I can go after work every day if I want to, you know, right. but at the same time, it's like, I'd rather her get one.
Agreed. Especially because has she ever shot a deer?
No. In fact, she finished hunter safety like a week ago.
Nice.
Yeah. Yeah. Nice. So she's brand new.
So is she a little nervous, a little excited? Are you going to sit with her to start?
I think she's a lot excited. And no. She's got a, we've got a stand set up for her and everything, and walk her out there and help make sure that she gets in safe and everything. And I'll come and pick her up when she's done. But, you know, it's like, that's what she wants to do. She wants to go out there and
nice
do her things.
That's awesome. I mean, yeah. That's a lot of confidence for a new hunter. It's a great thing. It really is.
Oh, absolutely. And that's half the battle. I think we all know that. So.
For sure. I can't wait to hear how it goes.
Yeah. I can't wait to find out.
So I'm assuming that she's also, is she running a crossbow?
Yeah. Yeah. Perfect. Yeah. She decided that she wanted to do it. I think it was like in the spring. And that day, you know, she had told me that, and that day I loaded up the girls and we went and shopped for a crossbow for her, and we bought her one.
Nice.
So, yeah, it was just, it's like no turning back now.
You're in now. This, you can't just say, I was only thinking about it. Too late.
We're into it. That's right.
Awesome. So she's got to be excited then. Like, she's just getting done with hunter safety.
Right.
It's her first season.
Right. Everything is new for her, and it's, you know, right. It's all ready to go. You know, it's all she has to do is go.
That's awesome.
Yeah.
Is she going to try to record it all?
I don't know.
Cameras?
Yeah, I don't know. And it's, you know, if she wants to, we'll work that out. I usually don't, only because it's like I'm fumbling around with enough crap out there, right. You know, and it's, you know, so I don't even try.
I mean, I keep it pretty simple for deer. I normally just do a single, was GoPros, now I'm running Tacticams. I normally just use a regular clamp mount right on my gun rail, and I just point it straight out in front of me.
Right.
If I get it, I get it. If I don't, I don't.
Right, and I could definitely do that. And I've actually got I've got rings for a GoPro to go on top of my scope if I decided to do that too. So.
Sure. I take that back. I do have a camera mount for my crossbow I can use if I would choose to. I do I take that back. Normally on my crossbow, I do run a camera. Then I normally run one on that rail if I don't have one on my, if I'm like during gun deer season.
Right.
I probably film more during gun deer season than I do anything else. Like I did start to do quite a little bit duck hunting. I really, really did not like having a camera on my shotgun though. It really threw my weight off and my swing off. And I was missing a ton of birds with a camera on it.
Yeah, it definitely does. Yeah, when I had a dog, I mean, I ran a camera on the dog's collar or on a harness.
Sure. Because
that was cool to see. You know, that was far cooler than watching birds go down. You know, watching him barrel through everything, and you know, that was cool to see. To see what he does.
Do you have to take motion sickness pills before watching it?
Usually, yeah, pretty much. Yeah, I mean, it's obviously the camera's all over the place, but it was fun to watch anyway. You know, especially when he would lock up on something, you know, and it's like you'd actually see what he was seeing under there.
Sure. That's cool. So when's another dog coming around then?
And, you know, we're in an apartment right now. And when we get a house, you know, that's bottom line. It's, you know, it's not fair to a dog here. So.
Right. That makes sense. I know you're a dog guy and I know you're a bird hunter, so I'm sure that itch is still there.
Oh, it absolutely is.
Yeah, that itch never really goes away. It's always kind of there.
Right.
Even when you have one, it's kind of like, I could use more dog power. Maybe I need two.
Right.
It just goes down that rabbit hole more and more and more.
Yeah, you know, and it never stops.
So any other fun and new equipment you picked up this year?
I got some cool binoculars. I got the loopholed Alpines.
Okay.
They're super, super nice. And so I'm rocking those this year.
Nice.
Yeah, I got a bunch of new stuff, but most of it was clothes, you know. Most
sure.
And obviously the crossbow and binoculars. And yeah, I'm into this way too much money. You know, it's like the pressure's on. I got to shoot something.
Yeah, if you go home empty-handed, you'd be like, I could have bought a whole cow or two or three for what I have into this.
Well, what do they give out? I think it's four takes or something in Waupaca County.
Sure.
And I could shoot all of them, and it still would have been cheaper to buy a cow's.
Are you going to process yourself?
Oh, I'm sure. Yeah. I mean, yeah, we always used to do that, and I'm sure that that's exactly what will happen this year again.
Very nice. Very nice. It is fun to process yourself. And
it is.
I like making sausage and jerky, and it's just fun to know, like, if you cut it up yourself, I mean, it's cool because you're the only one that's ever touched that meat.
Right.
Otherwise, if I don't cut my deer up, a good friend of mine's a butcher, and he cuts it up for me, I trust him. I know he's clean. I know his setup is good.
Right.
All of that. So, I mean, it's just fun to know, like, your meat's, like, you knew exactly where it came from.
Right. Yeah, so here's to hoping that there's a use for that this year, you know, and hopefully it's her. But, you know, if it's me, that's okay too, I guess.
Yeah, you know. The question is, would you pass on a buck walking towards her?
Absolutely. I'd let it walk. And, you know, in hopes that he turns in front of her.
Sure. How far apart are you two hunting?
We are, I ranged her, and I'm trying to think, it's 160 yards, something like that. So it's a ways, but it's at the same time, it's like she can yell and I can hear, you know?
Sure.
So, you know, and it's, so, I mean, we're far enough apart, but at the same time, we're close enough.
Right. Nope. That makes sense. And then you got her in a tree stand.
Yeah. Yeah. She's in a tree stand, and I generally hunt from the grounds.
Got it. Do you just prefer the ground, or is that just better for the area you're hunting?
Yeah, it's the area that I'm in, is that I like to be on the ground, and it's, you know, I sat in a tree a bunch of times last year, and I was like, you know, I want to be over here, and there just wasn't any trees that I could actually sit in, you know, that I wouldn't have been on stage anyway.
Sure.
You know, so what I was doing, I was digging holes in the ground and kind of sitting behind trees and things like that and doing all kinds of nonsense, you know, but I was seeing deer, you know, it's just, the only problem was, is that they'd come out on the wrong side of the tree. And then I'm trying to spin around it to get a shot and things like that. So, I mean, the blind will make that much easier too.
Right. I mean, was it two years ago? I was out deer hunting, like bow hunting. I was like, it was right in the middle of the rut.
Mm-hmm.
And I wasn't in my tree stand. I was in a ground blind. I just wasn't able to climb a tree stand that day. My back was all shot and everything else. So I'm like, I'm just going to go sit in a tree, go sit in my ground blind, which I had already set up out there. And I just got, like, it was dark. Like, it was a cloudy night.
Mm.
It was dark well before shooting time was over. And I'm like, you know, there's no way I'd trust a shot at this point. So I start packing my bow up. I close up all the windows, but the one in front of me, letting some light in. And I look up, and there's like a 12 pointer 10 feet in front of me, just staring at me like, what the hell are you? And I'm like, you going to wait for me to get my bow back out? Yeah, no.
No. It seems to be, it's almost like they know you put it away.
Right. I just got down. That was the last window to button up. And this thing and I are just staring at each other. And I had actually hung a camera on a tree facing towards the blind.
Yeah.
I'm like, tell me that this worked. And it didn't. The camera battery died an hour beforehand. I'm like, no.
Oh, that sucks.
Brave anglers search for the one they call king, but who will take his throne? Tune in to Waypoint TV's Battle for Silver, Saturday, May 18th from 12 to 6 p.m. Eastern, presented by Abyss Battery. Waypoint TV. Don't miss Mondays with Into the Blue, brought to you by Academy Sports and Outdoors. Every Monday night from 7 to 10 p.m. Eastern on Waypoint TV, the destination for outdoor entertainment.
So now when I do those crazy things, like I hang cameras facing the blind, because it's kind of a cool shot, especially if you can get in on the other side of the trail and whatnot.
Right.
Now I just run an external battery pack with it.
Yeah, and that's actually when I put my blind up, that's actually what I want to do. I want to move a camera so that it's facing my blind. For one, it's, I mean, security, if nothing else. Sure. You know, but for two, it's like, I kind of want to watch it because it's like, deer are curious creatures anyway. You know, and they're going to see that thing, with even with all the windows open up, somebody's going to hang their head in there. You know, and I want to get a picture of it.
That's awesome.
Yeah.
That's awesome. Did you get any cool pictures yet this year?
I did. I've got a doe with triplets that hangs out all the time. And it's, I'll have to send those to you, but yeah, I've got some really cool pictures.
That's cool.
Yeah,
that's cool. I've only got one really, really cool picture, and it's a buck chasing a doe, and the buck's all rutted out in the air.
Oh, with that's
the doe
cool.
Running around. Like, awesome. that was a cool photo.
That's awesome.
I'm gonna see if I can find it quick.
All right.
Yeah, that's like one of the it's always cool to see what's going on.
Right.
But I'm always hoping for like that really, really cool trail camera picture where it's
me
like
too.
This is awesome. Like this is just like what you hope to see on your trail camera.
Yeah, I've got one last year that was like it was a solid 10 or it might have been bigger than that. And I mean the deer had to have been 200 pounds. And it was like, it was pre-rut. So, I mean, it was like, but it was, so everything was green still, but it was like, it was a foggy morning and he's standing out there, you know, and it's like, it looks, honestly, it looks like a beer commercial or something.
That's awesome. A beer commercial, he says.
Yeah.
That's great. I'm going to try to find this picture quick. The problem is I don't even know what year it was. I started at 17. Work. We'll try 18 quick. I see it come up in my memories, and I'm just like, oh, that picture's so awesome. Oh. It's got to be here. We're getting close. Found it.
All right.
Found it. How do I full screen this? What does this button do? Hey, full screen. Look at that. Let's share this real quick.
All right.
Full screen.
Oh,
that is not what.
That's a big deer.
There it is.
Oh, that's cool.
Quit this slideshow stuff. Yeah. I mean, how cool is that?
Just that's awesome.
Would you stop? Fine. We'll just leave it like that then. But yeah, I mean, just look how rutted out that thing is and just how big it is. And you got the two doe just running away and that. And that buck is just like, yeah, come here, girls.
Yeah, he's got his neck all big and everything already.
Yeah, that was by far my favorite trail camera picture. Like, that's the coolest thing I've ever got on trail camera.
That is awesome.
And, you know, for like a cheap trail camera, that wilderness, like I have a cheap wilderness one that's not a cellular one.
Yeah.
The thing takes pretty good pictures because, I mean, you can just tell how much action's in this shot.
Yeah.
And it's not blurry.
No, it looks really nice. Yeah, I just got one of those. It's like a Wild View something or other, and it was cheap. And I actually got it free with my crossbow.
Oh, nice.
And, yeah. And it was like, why not? You know, I'll throw it out there. And otherwise, I'm just running those cheap Casco ones that are like $30 at Walmart, and they actually take really nice pictures too.
This was a good year out there. I'll share this one too. Like this was the one I was chasing.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, that's a big
deal. We had some good bucks that year. That was a good year for bucks. We had a couple of really, really nice ones. I had an opportunity at him, and I just wasn't able to make it happen. Right. He came in range, and I just the cards just didn't fall in place. The stars did not align, and I wasn't able to get a shot, and it was just so disappointing.
Yeah.
Like, to have that deer come in, and it's just like, oh. And that's by far the biggest deer I ever would have. That was by far the biggest deer I've ever had an opportunity at.
That's a big deer. I think I'd have cried on the way home.
It was a good hunt, though. I mean, it was still definitely a good hunt, and that's really what matters. Like, I'm out there for the experience, and like you have an opportunity, and like you get that adrenaline pumping, and you get buck fever, and you're trying to calm yourself down, and. He just didn't take the right trail and just didn't come within range.
Right. Yeah, and it's, I mean, that's just it. I mean, it's like we all go to work, you know. It's like you don't really need to shoot a deer to be able to eat or anything like that, you know. That's what you go to work for, I guess. But, you know, at the same time, you know, it's like just, I mean, to be that close though is hard.
Yeah, and to see that, and then that year I hunted pretty hard.
Yeah.
That year I bow hunted pretty hard. I don't remember why I did that year, cuz it was what, 4 years ago. Dogs would have been, yeah. That might have been the year Bandit hurt himself. That I might not have had Pip yet.
Okay.
I don't remember when I got Pippa. I don't know if it was.
And if you did, she was busy thinking.
So that might have been the year, because Bandit hurt himself at grouse camp, and he hurt his paw, and he was pretty much down for 8 weeks, which was pretty much the rest of bird hunting season.
I do remember that when that happened.
Yeah, he got that thorn in his paw, and it pushed all the way through the top and, like, cut the entire paw, like went, pierced his entire paw and butterflied the top of it open.
Right.
So, yeah, that might have been that year, because that's the last year I actually bow hunted hard, because every other time I'm in a tree stand, I feel guilty that my dog's not with me.
Right. I remember those days well.
It's hard. They only live for so long, and it's like,
I know.
I feel like I'm being selfish.
Well, and the season is short too, you know. It's like you try to get out there as much as you can.
And I always say I'm going to get out there for late season bow, because I mean, by me in Metro, it's open almost to February.
Yeah,
and
yeah.
I always say I'm going to get out there and do it, and I never do.
Well, I think a lot of it is because sitting in a tree in December sucks.
True, that is true. But we're in Wisconsin. I mean, we normally at least get one halfway decent week normally, to be honest, during late season.
Right.
But I feel like I always switch gears. Like, that's the problem. Like, I lose that itch. Like, it's no longer exciting. And I'm like, that at that point, it's like, all right, now I'm ready to go out and start calling some coyotes, or let's go catch some fish through the ice. Like, depending on when early ice hits, because some years it's not until the middle of December.
Come on, man. Trout season opens in January.
What's that?
I said, come on, man. Trout season opens in January.
Right. So, I mean, you start looking at that. It's like, it's hard because, like, right now I'm super jacked up to get back up after ducks, after geese. Mm. I'm really excited to get out for grouse. I'm actually going up earlier this year than I ever have in the past. I'm actually going to help and volunteer for the Rough Grouse Society grouse camp, and I'm going to take a couple people out.
Oh, right on.
They've never hunted grouse before. They have 80 mentees there, and there's going to be 40 mentors there with dogs. I'm one of them, some without dogs. So like for people that want to learn how to walk the trails that don't have dogs, but people with dogs. So I'm taking out two novice hunters after a safety demonstration and some other stuff. And then I'll give them the whole spiel on the way in the car that if you shoot my dog, you're not going to leave the woods. No, I'm just kidding.
Well, there's a lot of truth to that though.
But yeah, there is. I'd never admit that on camera. But anyways, so
I'd rather you shoot me than shoot my dog.
Yeah, exactly. Like my three rules. I don't remember who I took this from. I took it from someone and I just agreed with it so heartily. I stole it. Don't shoot my dog. Don't shoot my dog. Don't shoot each other.
Right.
But you're not going to shoot my dog twice. Like, you're going to shoot each other before you shoot my dog. Like, that's how this is going to work.
Right.
But no, I'm really excited for that. So, I mean, that starts all the way already in September. I mean,
yeah.
This weekend, I'm going to get out for early teal and early goose. I was hoping to get out for the opener tomorrow. I got some birds scouted and worked through a real big hitch in that. And I didn't take my half a day of vacation tomorrow, or if I did, I'd have to work sometime on this weekend. And I really don't want to work this weekend. So I figured I'd skip half a day tomorrow for the teal opener and then go hunt teal hard all weekend instead for the 3 days. So
yeah, they can be pretty hard early anyway. I mean, a lot of it's, you're just sitting out there swatting mosquitoes and hoping for the best.
That is true. But if you find the birds, in which I found the birds haven't been shot at yet. They're pretty dumb.
Oh,
like,
yeah.
Like this is when spinning ring decoys and pulsators and all that, they're just like, ooh, toys. Friends, and they just come in, no questions asked. The hard part is, I saw at least 7 wood duck to every teal.
Yeah,
I saw hundreds of wood duck to about 50 to 60 teal where I scouted, and there was enough teal there that I would have set up. It wasn't as much as I would have wanted, but it was the best I found for everywhere I had scouted. But it would have been hard shooting. Like, it'd have been hard. Like, you, like, it's so hard this time of year, like with identifying birds. I mean, it's just, it's hard.
It really is. That's hard enough anyway. And I mean, those teal are just little rockets, and I mean, they stand out pretty good, but at the same time, you know, it's sometimes a judgment call, you know, especially if they're not real close.
Well, that's just it. I mean, you got, like, for me personally, I'm not willing. I would rather pass on all my shots and accidentally shoot a wood duck.
Right.
I'm real big on bird identification. And if I don't know what I'm shooting at, I'm not going to shoot.
Right.
So I wouldn't have, like, all those longer shots. I wouldn't take them. Like, I wouldn't, unless if they've already circled once and I saw the blue on the wings and it was, like, obvious they were blue-winged teal. Like,
right.
There's a big, like, blue-winged teal on the wing look way different than a wood duck if you know what you're looking for.
Right. And it's completely different middle of the general season, you know, where you can just, if you see a bird flying, you just shoot it because everything is open.
Right. Exactly. I mean, as long as you're not hunting like a bunch of pintails or something like that, I still make sure to ID my birds to a degree, but.
Oh, absolutely.
Where I'm still my bird ID really starts to get soft in one area. And I really have a hard time still identifying a hen mallard to a gadwall at like 35 to 40 yards.
Yeah.
I can't probably count how many gadwall I've passed out in my life thinking it's a hen mallard because I've already got my hen or something like that. Perfect. I'm like, no hen mallards. Like, I really have a hard time distinguishing between the two there. And I know, like, the feet are slightly different color. They've got different colored beaks, blah, blah, blah,
yeah,
blah,
but at
blah,
the same blah, time, blah. They're brown, you know, right. And it's like, are you ready to make that call on the fly? I'm not, you know.
I know I've hunted with people who can, like, really, really easily tell the difference between gadwalls and hen mallards. And
sure,
like, I don't, like, maybe it's because I haven't hunted a ton of areas with a ton of gadwalls a lot of times.
Right.
Like, one season we had a really good, like, bumper crop of gadwalls by us. By the third or fourth hunt, I was actually able to tell the difference. On the wing, but it took like a lot of like doing, like, being able to see the bird on the wing. And that was 10 years ago.
Right.
Like, I don't remember the differences now. I'm old.
Right. Well, yeah. And it's, I mean, your eyes aren't quite as sharp as they used to be anymore and all this other stuff. It makes it hard.
It does. So now I just don't pull the trigger if I'm not 100% sure.
Same.
Unless I don't have my hen mallard, because then it's game on.
Well, yeah, then the brown bird is going down anyway.
Right. Exactly. Exactly. Because I'm not one to not shoot. I'll shoot a hen. I'll say it right now. Would I rather shoot all greenheads? Sure. It makes for a prettier picture. Do they all eat the same? They sure do.
All right.
And if it's a choice of me not shooting any birds or taking a hen, I'm going to take the hen. I put in a lot of time. It'd be nice to come home with a little bit of meat and a little bit of excitement.
Right.
Man, I give a credit to those guys that can just like they're on ducks where they can just hold out and like hammer on the mallard drakes. And I had some good hunts last year where I was able to do that, but there was a couple of slow hunts where I'm like, yeah, no, if a hen comes in range, like I'm taking that hen.
Right.
A couple of friends had the joke, like it wasn't like a couple of friends who like I always hunted with, they had another buddy that I never hunted with. And he'd always be like, and this is when we only had one hen, he'd get there in the morning and be like, hey guys, can I shoot your hen? Long running joke, which is hilarious. Like, that's just funny. Four in the morning.
Join me, Chef Jean-Paul Bourgeois, and the whole crew here at Duck Camp Dinners every Monday at 8 p.m. Eastern on Waypoint TV. Birds up in the
sky. Yeah, we used to sit out there and all the time. Man, if we don't see any birds pretty soon, I'm starting to shoot coots. You know, that was always our running joke too.
If I got the dog with me and they haven't had a retrieve yet, I'll shoot a coot. No, hands down, no questions asked. I'll turn it into a merganser hunt if I have to get the dog some retrieves. I'll shoot a bunch of sawbills. I'm not that way.
Right.
I mean, they eat like snails, which is wonderful, but.
Yeah, I don't. I never shot one, so I never had to eat one.
They taste like snails.
Yeah, I don't doubt that.
Well, I mean, you know, that's all they eat.
They eat. Yeah. Now, yeah, they eat all kinds of lovely stuff.
Now I've grown those up with goose and some other divers' ducks and made jerky and whatever. At that point, you can't taste it anymore.
Yeah, I could see. Well, it's all cooked down anyway. I can see that.
But I would not recommend just tossing a merganser breast on a grill and going to town like steak.
No, I'm sure not.
Unless someone's got a recipe. If someone's got a recipe, drop a comment. I'd love to see it. I'll give it a shot. I'm not that way. Like if someone's got a merganser recipe and they're just like, this is lights out, and they're legit. Like, don't tell me it's the best thing in the world just to get a reaction on a later show, because like I'll find you.
Awesome.
But I mean, I'd be willing to give it another shot if someone had a recipe where it's like creme de la maganza or something crazy like that.
Yeah, well, and it could be. I mean, some of the wild turkey stuff that I came across was honestly really, really good. You know, so
I've got a monster turkey on trail camera right now.
Shoot it.
Monster. Like beard dragon on the ground, like pulled back monster.
Really?
Just a monster, Tom.
Shoot it.
I've got a fall tag. If I do actually spend any time out there with the bow and that thing walks through, I will not hesitate to put an arrow right through it.
No, I've never seen a turkey on my land. So I didn't even bother to get a fall tag this year.
I just buy the conservation patron. I do so much. It just comes with it anyways. And then I don't have to worry about applying for anything anymore. When I put it all together in the spring, I'm like, yep, apply.
Right. Because you already paid for everything anyway. So
exactly.
See if I get my bear tag or my bobcat tag this year. But at the same time, you know, it doesn't cost you anything to find out.
I just started applying for both of those last year. I've never been like bobcat. I've always like, I really should. And I haven't. I don't have a ton of interest in hunting bear, but I feel like in 8 years I might. So I probably should start applying now.
Right. I'd like to do it. I know absolutely nothing about them either. So
a coworker of mine, friend of mine, he's a big bear hunter, dogs, bait, the whole deal. He's a guide. He said anytime when I pull a tag, if I just get enough points, pull a tag for area, he'll get me out. So I mean, I've got the people that can get me out. I don't know why. It's just something I've not been super interested in doing.
You're right. Yeah, I don't know. Like I said, I'd like to do it, but I don't care enough to try to find or try to pull a tag.
Sure.
Especially because I have no idea what I'd be doing anyway.
Right.
Basically, what I'd be doing is sitting in a deer stander in the off season, hoping for the best.
I'd probably hire a guide.
Oh yeah. I think that's the only way to do it.
I agree. I just don't know how I'd want to do it. If I'd want to do it over dogs or over bait, like what I'd rather do. I think that's the reason why I'm not super interested in do it. Like, I don't know how I'd want to do it. Like, to me, I'd rather go out west, pull an over the counter tag and glass for hours and try to shoot one off a mountainside.
Right. Right. And that's how I picture it. You know, it's like hunting over bait, I mean, doesn't seem very sporting to me, and neither do dogs. You know, it's – and which is – that's pretty much your options here.
Right.
And that's much what I prefer to.
I support the dogs 100%. Mm-hmm. Like, it's cool what they can do and everything else. And, like, I'm a big proponent of, like not talking about – like, I mean, those guys, like, they do a ton of training. They've got a lot of time invested in their dogs. Their dogs do great things. I just wish I could watch the dogs work.
Right.
Like that's what I wish I could do. Like, if I could watch the dogs work, I'd be 100% be like it feels like upland hunting and the dogs are working and they're chasing a bear. I'm like, hell yeah.
Bear.
Like that's what I want. And I know that's not how it works. And I support bear hunt. Like, I support all the dog guys and all that. Like all the dog hunters for coons and all that stuff. I mean, we all got to stick together. We're all a big family. Cause we start fighting amongst each other. Like, we don't stand up for the bear dogs and the coon dogs. No one's going to stand up for the bird dogs at the end of the day. Right. So
no, and absolutely. And I mean, I fully believe that they put in so much time and everything else, you know, it's just, I don't get it, you know? And it's like, it just doesn't do anything for me.
Sure.
You know, and it's, and I think that, like you said, that's part of it is that I can't watch the dog work. I mean, bunnies are kind of the same thing. And I love doing that because I like watching the dogs do what they're supposed to do.
Sure. Yeah, you were a big rabbit hunter, weren't you?
Growing up, yeah.
Yeah. Beagles, was it?
Yeah, yeah. My stepdad had just a ton of beagles in the backyard and in town. You know, sometimes he'd have a dozen back there, all of them, ooh, all day long. That's awesome. Yeah, pissing the neighbors off.
Damn dogs.
Yeah.
Can't sleep. That's hilarious. Well, we've hit pretty much that hour mark, so this sounds like a good time. I'll give the next couple minutes to you if you want to thank anyone or shout anyone out. Or,
you know, I thank you for having me on. You know, that's first and foremost, I guess. You know, and it's always a good time. You know, and just get together and talk about the stuff that we like to do. Yeah. You know, and
nice to catch up for hunting season.
Absolutely. Absolutely. You know, kind of hard to do that at the shows and everything, and with you being so far away too. So,
right.
Yeah. So, but no, it's thanks again for having me on. It's always fun, and we'll have to do it again.
Absolutely. And to all my listeners, thanks again for tuning in. I will drop all the comment or all, any links in here. I'll probably drop a Raven crossbow link because we talked so much about it, just in case you're interested in checking out what Troy's shooting.
They're pretty cool.
I'll toss a link to any social media you want to share and everything else. If anybody wants to check out what Troy has going on. And until next time, everyone, keep chasing that experience.
Thanks for tuning in to another killer episode here on Paddle and Fin. Be sure to drop a 5-star rating, a thumbs up, or smash that subscribe button on any platform you're listening in on. Be sure to check us out on Waypoint TV, waypointtv.com. Make sure you sign up for the Fantasy Kayak Fishing League at paddleandfin.com/fantasy. You could support this show through Patreon, patreon.com/paddleandfin. Don't forget to check out the website, paddleandfin.com. Catch us on YouTube. If you got a question, comment, or want to see a future guest on the show, be sure to email us at paddleandfin@gmail.com. Shout out to our show supporters, Yak Gadget. You can check out all the fine kayak accessories at yakgadget.com. Pelican Professional. For all your cases, coolers, and lighting needs, go to pelican.com. Rocktown Adventures. Your Midwest premier paddle sports destination, go to rocktownadventures.com. Eastport Marina, the beautiful destination on Dale Hollow Lake. If you're looking for lodging, kayaks, kayak accessories, or anything fishing related on the beautiful Dale Hollow Lake, go to eastport.info. And Jigmasters Jigs, when in doubt, get the jig out. Go to jigmasters.com and fill your tackle boxes today.
Through the Blackwater bayous and in the dark Louisiana night floats a duck camp, alive with the sounds of swamp pop and the smells of Cajun cooking. From the Mississippi Delta in Venice to the Cajun prairies of the Southwest, me and the Duck Camp Dinners crew will be hunting and eating it all.
This is Duck Camp Dinner.
Join me, Chef Jean-Paul Bourgeois, and the whole crew every Monday at 8 p.m. Eastern on Waypoint TV.
I'm Will Cooper, and you're listening to Hunt Stand's Make Your Mark podcast on the Waypoint Podcast Network. Stick around as I bring you more stories and interviews from veteran hunters and industry professionals who inspire us all to be better equipped in the woods and in life.